awesome God he reigns from heaven up with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God. Church, stand, let's sing this morning. Standing and let's pray this morning. Amen. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's worthy. Amen. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you and we praise you this morning. Lord, we lift your name on high because you are worthy to be praised here in your house today. Lord, on this, the first Sunday, back from celebrating the resurrection, Lord, last Sunday, Lord, what a wonderful time we had in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the messenger. Thank you, Lord, for the moving of the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, that you are seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father this morning. Make an intercession for us. You're pleading our case before the Father. And Lord, this morning, we just want to come this way to tell you that we love you. To tell you, Lord, that we want to worship you because you are an awesome God. And you do reign from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Lord, we say our God is an awesome God. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us today. Accept our worship and our praise. May this place be filled with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we be able to leave this place today and say that it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. And all of God's people said, Amen. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an... Sing it one more time, church. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven. Clap of praise again, church. Thank you. You can be seated today, Pastor.
Well, who would agree that our God is an awesome God? He is an awesome, awesome God. He is a good, good Father. When mother and father forsake us, then the Lord will bear us up. I praise the Lord for who He is and for what He does. Brother Allen mentioned ago about the Lord Jesus being seated on the throne. And, you know, there are three things that pertain to the throne and Jesus. Number one, he was standing at his throne when Stephen was being stoned. He stood with applause, I believe, for the kind of man that Stephen was, being the kind of devoted follower that he was. Then after that, we see that the Lord is seated. He's seated. He came, he bled, he died, he was buried, he rose again. He hung around for 40 days, ascended back to the Father, and I can't speak this morning. And he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is, he's living. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. But one day he's going to be leaving that throne and coming back for his church. And I asked the Lord to come quickly this morning. If he's ready, I'm ready. And but it's such a blessing to be here. I was just thinking about that when Brother Allen mentioned the Lord being seated at the throne this morning. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church. Maybe I can learn how to speak in just a moment. Nonetheless, so good to be here. I want to welcome the Sapp family back with us. And Brother Stephen, Miss Krista, kids. And look like you have somebody also with you today. It's such a blessing to have all you guys. And I want to go ahead and mention this while we're on the subject, that we're starting tonight doing Sunday nights a little different for a while. I call it Sunday Nights Plus. We're going to actually meet in our fellowship hall. We're going to have light refreshments, and we're going to have a time of devotion, some singing as well. And I asked Brother Stephen if he would kick that off for us tonight. And so he's locked and loaded and ready to deliver. And so we're looking forward to that. But then at this afternoon is our ladies' monthly CLU meeting, Calvary Ladies Union. And Miss Krista will be speaking then, and appreciate her doing that. So remember that. That's at 3 p.m. For the ladies and any other lady that would like to attend. Maybe you're not a member here, you're just visiting, you can come to that. And also our 5 p.m. Sunday Nights Plus downstairs as well. And Brother Allen mentioned a moment ago how great our Easter service was last Sunday, and I attest to that. It was a great, great service. We enjoyed that, being part of it, being able to preach and all. Many others said they enjoyed it thoroughly, and so we appreciate that feedback. I do want to mention some things this morning before we pray. And got a message a bit ago from, actually Christy did, I believe, and she shared it with me. Miss Melita wanted me to share this morning, that her sister Lanice fell and broke some ribs. She's just bruised up from that fall, and she's in a lot of pain. So if the church would remember Miss Melita and her sister this morning, her sister Lanice that fell. And so we'll pray for her in just a moment. But also Brother Brian, who is starting a revival today, preaching for a church that's starting a revival. So remember him as he preaches this morning, tonight, and however long else it goes through the week. And so we'll remember Brother Brian. Let's remember the Teagues. Good to see Brother Larry here. But also, let's remember Miss Connie and Miss Christy. She's still going, Miss Christy, at the end of the month for that removal of the stent, the other one. Excellent. Excellent. Glad that there's some progression with that, getting that better. Also, let's continue to remember Miss Marianne Sanvey, who's recovering from her knee operation. Brother Larry Bennett, he's going to have thyroid surgery. I believe it's this coming Wednesday on the 19th. And so let's remember him in our prayers. Good to see Miss Mary Kelly this morning. And rolling up in her Hot Wheels and her new ride. And she's been waiting on a ride. She has a ride. And so good to see her. So good to see everyone this morning. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Facebook viewers, for watching. We're looking forward to a great day from start to finish in the house of the Lord. Let's pray, and then I'll toss things back to Brother Allen. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for who you are, oh Lord, and then we thank you for the things that you have done in our lives, Lord, at our church, Lord. Father, we thank you for the things you're doing now that we may not even be aware of. And God, thank you for the things you're going to do in the future. We pray for these, Lord, that are in need of prayer, for Miss Lanice. We pray for her that you would touch her in a mighty way. God, that you would allow her to heal speedily, God. Father, we just pray for her recovery process. Pray for Brother Brian as he starts to preach this revival, that you would have your hand upon him and use him in a mighty way. And we're thankful for the news of Miss Christie that other kidney stone has already been broken up and she's just following through with a removal of the stent. Just have your hand on her, Miss Connie, Miss Marianne Sanvey and her knee recovery, Brother Larry Bennett and his upcoming surgery. God be with him even then. And Father, we'll praise you and we'll thank you for it. Meet with us now today in a very special way and we will praise you for that as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Choir, if you'll stand with me. Church, if you stand with me this morning, could we sing Jesus, Jesus? There is something about that name. Church, you can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Choir practice today at 4 o'clock. If you've been praying about becoming a member of the choir, this would be a great time for you to get in. We just finished our Easter program, and we're going to start back on learning some more new songs. We're going to go back and pick up a song that we haven't done in some time. We're very excited about that, but we would love to have you come and be a part of the choir. Seems to me there's probably enough room for you for now. But you better hurry and get in while the getting's good. Amen. We got some seats available. We'd love to have you to come and be a part of the choir. If you've been praying about that, come and speak with me, and I'll explain to you a little bit about what we believe in as far as the choir. We just want to sing and worship the Lord. Amen. And we're excited about what the Lord has for us in the days and the months and the years to come. So please come if you've been praying about being a member of the choir. Let me say that we have some folks that are visiting with us, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. I have a great friend that's with me. He and I grew up together. We've worshipped together for years, and Brother Greg Colston is with us this morning. Brother Greg, I want you to take us to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering this morning. Brother Greg, would you pray with us this morning? last Sunday was the day that we have chosen to worship and praise and thank the Lord for the resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
And I've said this over and over for many years. Every Sunday truly should be Easter Sunday for the Christian. We should come into his house and be thankful for what was accomplished at Calvary. So this morning, I've asked Shiloh if she'll sing a song that we did last Sunday morning. And we just want to say still that we're here today because he gave his life for mine.
Came sin.
was feeling and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you. You see, I was covering up those secret tears that I cried. But then one day, someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. How you died to purchase my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free. Yes, I'm amazed that's loving. I'm amazed how you cared. Your grace I've loved on the corner. And my sins are yes, it's true, there have been days when I failed you. Lord, you know that there's been times that I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. And guess what? And your ear is open every time I pray. Has ever cared for me like you, Lord. You see, other friends, they've never been as close to me. You know why? I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever.
And here we go. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate you being here. And I'd like for you to remember another request this morning. Brother Tim Ledford, I was just told, having surgery on this coming Thursday. And so let's remember him in prayer as well. Praying for you, brother. And no deacons meeting this afternoon at 3 o'clock, just CLU, and then the 5 o'clock Sunday Nights Plus. All right. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're so very glad we are here. I am, I've been trying to shake this pollen stuff from my system, and it just keeps hanging on and hanging on, and my hearing is kind of messed up this morning, and so you just remember me as I attempt to preach this morning, that everything will be in sync and working properly, and if not, then Lord help us preach anyway. All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and make your way to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 this morning. Brother Allen has made reference to last Sunday a few different times this morning, and had Miss Shiloh sing that song this morning. Great job, Miss Shiloh. And I tell you, and in all honesty, my heart is still thinking about Easter, brother. My heart is still caught up in the resurrection. And last Sunday, we, being Easter Sunday, we talked about a true promise keeper. And I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is a true promise keeper. We know as parents, if we tell our kids, I promise, we had better fulfill that promise. Because if not, they say to us, you promised. And we talked about that he kept his promise concerning the reality of his birth. He prophesied, or there was prophecy, that the Lord Jesus would come, and it was fulfilled. That being because the Lord is a promise keeper. Then we talked about that he kept his word concerning his resurrection. He told the inner circle, he said, men, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to bleed. I'm going to die, be buried, but I will rise again. And we know that Peter had a problem with that, among some others. And then we talked about that the Lord is a true promise keeper. Concerning his return. And we know that his return is yet future. And we mentioned some verses in Revelation, how that chapter 22, that he says that these words are faithful and true. And I just want to echo again from last Sunday, the Lord Jesus Christ is a true promise keeper. He's coming back. Amen. If he follow through on the promise of his birth and he was born. If he followed through on the promise of his resurrection and he arose, then there's going to come a day when that word will be fulfilled and he will come in the sky for his bride. And I'm looking forward to that day. I do want some others to get saved before he comes. I don't know when he's coming. I do know he is coming. And so I believe that we all need to be about the Father's business, sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thankful and grateful to have my grandparents here last Sunday morning. And my grandfather being 87 years old and my grandmother 85. And I just pray that the Word of God fell on good ground and his heart. And My grandmother's already a professed Christian. All right. This morning, I want to, again, stay in that kind of mindset. But like last Sunday morning, we talked about the resurrection and the Lord being a true promise keeper. This morning, I want to talk about after the resurrection. It's been 7 days since he arose. And the thought occurred to me that many preach on the resurrection. The very fact that the Lord Jesus got up from the grave, he came forth from the tomb. But what did he do after that? It's been 7 days since we've had Easter. And we talked about the resurrection, but what after the resurrection? What happened next? This morning I want to follow that train of thought, and I'd like to actually preach a message entitled After the Resurrection. After the Resurrection. Christianity this morning hinges upon the resurrection. If Jesus never arose from the grave, Christianity crumbles and is powerless. All that we do is vain if Jesus did not come up out of that grave. It would be empty, void of truth. Meeting here today and assembling ourselves together would be all vain if Jesus didn't walk out of that tomb. It would be empty. We'll just be wasting our time. We should just do like others do in this world and eat and laugh and have a good time, because tomorrow we die. But I want to report this morning that he did arise from the grave. Amen. And this morning we serve a living Savior. Notice, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, starting in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he hath, or that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Yet, or ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." But then verse number 20 says, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Again, I want to say that the resurrection, or Christianity, hinges upon the resurrection. And the Bible says that he is alive. He rose from the dead. And because of that, this morning, we are not in our sins. Because of that, this morning, we are not found false witnesses. Because Jesus rose from the grave, that simple truth tells us that our faith is not in vain. So this morning, what a blessing it is to serve a living Savior and to be a Christian that is powerful. To be a Christian this morning that follows the Lord and embraces all that is true in the Word of God. This morning, again, I want to mention some things concerning after the resurrection. I want to mention some evidence that's found in Scripture where Jesus indeed did arise. And I want to talk about some things concerning what he did, who he appeared to, etc. But also I'd like to make practical application to our lives and then leave us with a challenge. And so if I can do that, it'll be time well spent, I believe. Concerning after the resurrection, number one, we see the duration of his stay. When Jesus walked out of that tomb, he was here on earth for a certain amount of days. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, if you'd like to turn there, Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So this morning he was alive on this earth after the resurrection for 40 days. From the time that he arose from the grave to the time that he ascended back to the Father was 40 days. Y'all just stay with me this morning. I'm pedaling as fast as I can. We will get there. 40 days, the duration of his stay was 40 days from the tomb to his ascension. Now, the number 40 in the Bible stands for and means testing or trial. It also means a time of probation even. And when we look at the number 40 and that the Lord Jesus was here after the resurrection, before the ascension, until the ascension for 40 days, we see that it was definitely a time of testing and trial, probation even for the disciples. Concerning the number 40 in the Bible, we see that Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days. We know that Noah was in the ark for 40 days, and it rained for 40 nights and 40 days. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted of the devil. The number 40 has to do with trial, and it has to do with testing. And so the question is, why then was he here for 40 days after the resurrection? I'll give you two reasons. Number one, it was a time of proving. And number two, it was a time of preparing. And so after Jesus walked out of that tomb, until the day came he ascended back to the Father, it was literally 40 days of Jesus proving and demonstrating to his followers that he truly was alive. And it was truly him. It was a time of proving. If you remember, there were some who even doubted that Jesus would rise again, although they walked with him and talked with him. If you remember, there was an account of two on the road to Emmaus, and they were walking together, and they were saddened. And this man came in with them and asked them, why are ye so sad? And this man began to expound on the scriptures from Moses today to the days currently that they were living in. And the Bible says that their hearts began to burn on the inside. It was Jesus. And so he began to show himself to his disciples after the resurrection, calm in their fears. They were filled with sadness. Some were. They were filled with sorrow. Like I said a moment ago, earlier in my introduction, that even Peter tried to stop him from going to the cross. And so we see that it was a time within those 40 days of proving. Jesus even had a fish dinner for the disciples after they were fishing all night and caught nothing. He said, come and dine. And it was the literal Jesus that was alive from the grave. And that's when he spoke to Peter and he challenged Peter to feed his sheep. So that 40-day time period after the resurrection, Jesus was walking around proving himself to his disciples demonstrating to his followers that he was truly alive from the grave. He was calming fears and dealing with sadness. Not only that this morning, but he was preparing. Don't turn there, but in Matthew chapter number 28, in verse 19, Jesus says, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." He was preparing them during this 40-day time period. And so there was a lot taking place in a short amount of time after the resurrection. You say, "Brother Justin, I hear what you're saying, but how does that apply to my life?" Well, let me just say that the Lord has been gone for a little more than 40 days since he ascended back to the Father, since he arose from the tomb. But Jesus is still proving himself in resurrecting power to his children. Jesus is still demonstrating what he can do today. There's many times when we're filled with fear. There's many times when we're filled with sadness and we're filled with sorrow. But here is this resurrected Jesus coming in and involving himself in our situation, like those two on the road to Emmaus. Have you ever been so sad before? Have you ever been so heavy of heart? Has your soul ever been so dry and absent of spiritual vigor, if you would? Have you ever been at that place where you're depressed or discouraged in your life? Have you ever been there? David spoke one time that in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, upon many different occasions, that he actually spoke to his soul. You do know it's okay to talk to yourself. I say that a lot, but I really mean it. Sometimes you got to talk it out. And David, many times in the Old Testament, he would say, "Oh, my soul, why art thou disquieted within me, Lord?" And just crying out to the Lord and speaking to himself and speaking to the Lord. And so was the case for these disciples and early believers, that they watched Jesus die upon the cross and then he was buried. But then he arose from the grave and he made personal visits to those who doubted and feared. What about the time that the disciples were assembled together in the upper room? The Bible says, "Came Jesus and showed himself to them." But there was one missing that night that should have been there, but he wasn't. The disciples were assembled together out of fear of the Jews. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared and calmed their fears. And we know that Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas showed up a bit later and said, "Oh, I won't believe this until I see Jesus myself and touch his side and touch his hand. Then I'll believe." And so there was an occasion when Thomas was there, and the Bible says, "There appeared Jesus." Jesus told Thomas, "Here's my hands, here's my side. Go ahead, touch and believe. Be not faithless." And he said, "Lord, oh my Lord, oh my God." He believed without even touching him. Thomas had the need for Jesus making himself real to him. And listen, the Lord hardwired Thomas. You and I are hardwired certain ways when we are born. We all have different spiritual needs. And Thomas was always one who, unless I see it, and I got to have evidence. And Jesus, what's the way to heaven? And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth." Thomas had to have a special touch. And I'm glad that night that Jesus showed up in the midst of their fears, in the midst of his confusion and doubts, and made himself real. I'm saying this morning that the resurrection of Jesus is real. And although he's been gone more than 40 days, he is still making himself real in resurrecting power. He is still showing up in your life and mine to prove himself that he's God. He is still moving in your behalf and moving on my behalf. When we're filled with doubt and we're filled with fear and we don't know what to do, here comes Jesus on our behalf. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that this morning. And so the Lord is, he was proving himself. He was comforting the disciples during that 40 days. But also he was preparing them. What is Jesus doing now? He not only is proving himself to us, comforting us, but he is preparing us to do his will. He told the disciples, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel." And then he ascended back to the Father. God is preparing you to do his will. If you belong to him this morning, and listen, it's the same resurrected Jesus today as it was then. He is still preparing us to do his will. He is still desirous of us to carry out the Great Commission. You say, "Brother Justin, you don't understand. I got saved and my whole life went south." You don't understand. It hadn't been easy following Jesus. Exactly. He never said it'd be easy, but he did say he'll be with us. Amen. And Jesus is molding you. Jesus is molding me. He is preparing us to do his will. And listen, we have resurrecting power to perform his will this morning. And so we see the duration of his stay after the resurrection. He was here for 40 days. Let me mention something else. Not only the duration of his stay after the resurrection, but I want to look at the details at the tomb after the resurrection. More specifically this morning, who was there first after he arose is what I want to look at. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter number 16. Mark 16. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1. "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they may come and anoint him." So we see who was there. And it was women. Hold that thought. It was women that were there. Now, based upon that very truth, you can search all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it was women that were there, the Marys. And because of that, this literally proves the resurrection really occurred. You say, "Whoa, where do you get that from?" Listen to this, just for a moment. In early Jewish Roman cultures, women were looked down upon by men, and their testimonies were regarded as untrustworthy. You say, "I thought you said this proves it." It does. Listen. Back in those days, unfortunately, by a testimony of a woman, it was held unreliable, untrustworthy. And so why does the Bible say that these Marys were there, that there were women at the tomb? Well, because they were, number one. But number two, let me just say this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if they were making up a story about the resurrection so that it would be believed, they would have put themselves there at the tomb. Does that make sense? Early Jewish Roman cultures, women were looked down upon, unfortunately, and what they had to say didn't amount to anything. They were untrustworthy. But in essence, that proved the resurrection, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all account that these women were there. And if the resurrection was false, they would have said, as a man being more believable during that time frame, I was there. I seen it. But they can't say that because they weren't there. And so the details at the tomb, more specifically, who was the first there at the tomb, it was women. This proved and is evidence that Jesus arose from the grave. Now let me say this. Us men, we can glean something from this. While us men need to learn a lesson from these women, we can also learn lessons from women of today that follow Jesus. I think that sometimes us men think that we're a little more spiritual than we actually are. If you go back and research the Bible, you will find time and time again where a devoted woman waited on God. You will find in Scripture where a man named Noah was following God, and he was building a boat that he never even heard about, never even heard about rain. But he had a wife that was devoted to God. You say the Bible don't mention his wife. Doesn't have to. She was there. By the silence and omission of her name, spoke about her devotion. Noah's wife was there, and she supported Noah, and she walked with Noah, and she went to the ends of the earth with Noah, and I'm sure she would have went off the edge with Noah if that's what he felt like God wanted them to do. She was obedient to the Lord. She was devoted. Other women like Sarah, who was devoted to God first, and then she followed her husband through the ups and the downs of life. They had a child at the ripe old age of 100. And then came a day where Abraham said, "Honey, you ain't going to believe this. And I'm not telling you wrong. But the very thing we've been waiting on, God wants it back." And listen, I'm reading between the lines here. I'm trying to paint a picture. But you don't hear no arguing from Sarah. You don't hear no backlash from Sarah. You don't hear anything negative from Sarah. Listen, we need some Sarahs in our day. We need some Noah wives in our day that will back their husbands and promote Jesus and spirituality. But she was obedient. She was submissive to God. Jesus says it was through this seed that I will bless all the nations of the earth. So Mr. and Mrs. Abraham believed God, fully devoted. Thank God for the women of the Bible. What about Naomi? Remember that story in the book of Ruth? That Naomi, she followed her husband Ahimelech over to Moab and her two kids. And we know, a long story short, that the end result of that was a dead husband and two dead kids. The original plan was to go to Moab just for a season. They were living in Bethlehem, and there was a dry spell. There wasn't any bread. And so they went back to the world. Moab being a picture of the world, they went back to the world, but didn't live to tell about it. But Naomi heard that there was bread back in Bethlehem. Naomi heard that something was happening in the land where they came from. And she says, you know, there's been a lot to go on in my life. I've suffered bitterness. I'm bitter. She actually says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. She lost her kids. She lost her husband. She lost all of those things. But she says, I need to see Jesus. I need to be in his country. I need to go back to where I came from. She heard there was bread back in Bethlehem, and that was more important to her than staying and dying. So she left. She was devoted to God in the midst of her bitterness. Listen, to have a bitter heart is a terrible thing. To get bitter along your journey in life and to grow different toward God, something we have to work on, not growing in that direction. And so sometimes things happen. Sometimes God takes a loved one. Sometimes we get a bad report from the doctor. Sometimes we're betrayed by a friend. Sometimes things happen that doesn't go our way. And we need to do our very best to even follow Jesus through the shadow of the valley of death. And I'm thankful we have women in the Bible who have shown a lot of men how to walk with Jesus. This morning we see that there are some details at the tomb, more specifically, who the first people were that were there, and it was women. Notice in Mark, verse number 9, now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. These women seen Jesus first. These women were at the tomb. These women seen the angels. These women heard the message. These women were told to go back, tell my disciples and Peter that the Lord is not here, he is risen. It would do us men well to listen to a godly woman. I'm thankful this morning I have a godly wife. I'm thankful this morning that, and listen, while I'm on the subject, young people, it matters who you date. It matters who you go out with. It matters, it matters, it matters. Because there's going to come a time and day where you want to get married and you need to marry a godly woman. I'm glad that I have a godly wife. You say, is she perfect? No. But guess who else isn't perfect? This guy right here. But God made sure that I had a godly wife to not let me get by with anything. A good wife will do that. And if you're married for a while, you may even start calling her mama. She's either Christy or mama to me. And sometimes I'm funny like, yes, ma'am. I stand just like this. I go, yes, ma'am. I say, all right, mama. All right. And you know, for the first little while of our marriage, I kind of resented that, honestly, as a man. You ain't going to tell me what to do. I know I need to do this. You ain't got to remind me to roll the trash can to the street. I know tomorrow's Thursday. It's trash day. You ain't got to remind me to do that. Sure as the world, if she didn't say that. I heard that garbage truck pulling up on Thursday. Lifted a garage, getting that garbage can. From the simplest thing to the most spiritual thing. A good wife will make a man better. And I'm glad that I can see that after 18 years of marriage. It's not this ego that I carry. It's not this pride that I carry. It's God giving me a helpmate. And without her, I could not do what I do. That woman there, she helps me when I'm down. She tells me every Saturday, Justin, don't be down. That church is, Calvary is wanting a message. And I know she's telling the truth. But if she was ever lying, it still motivated me to get in there and really dig in the scriptures. thank God for godly women. These women were there at the tomb. And these men are left to write about it. Let me mention one more thing and we're done. After the resurrection, we see the duration of his stay, the details at the tomb. But lastly, we see the decision of the believer. Turn to Philippians 3, or a decision of the believer. Philippians chapter number 3. Time would never permit us to mention all the occasions and evidences of Jesus' resurrection. Please hear me when I say that. We're not saying this is it of what we've already mentioned. 1 Corinthians alone, chapter 15, starts off by saying of who saw the Lord after his resurrection. And then above 500 brethren seen the Lord. So many places. But I said in my introduction that I want to mention some things of what he did, who he appeared to. But then I want to make practical application, but leave you with a challenge. And this challenge is for you, and this challenge is for me this morning concerning the resurrection of Jesus. Look in chapter 3, verse number 10. Paul knew the Lord intimately in salvation. He knew the resurrecting power of Jesus concerning salvation. God changed his life. He went to murder the church, then he began pastoring the church or preaching to the church. But now he wants to know him in relationship even deeper. Verse 10 says, he mentions all these things that he was, but then verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul says, I want to know more. Paul says, I want to know him deeper. But Paul also recognized, in order to do that and to know his resurrecting power, there has to be death. There has to be death. Paul, in essence, is saying, if I'm going to get to know the Lord more, there's some things in my life that has to die. There are some times of suffering that I'm going to have to go through in my life in order to know him more and be made more like him. And so the challenge this morning is this. Number one, do you know him in salvation? Have you experienced his resurrecting power in saving you? But number two, have you experienced his resurrecting power in serving him? Serving him. Have you experienced his resurrecting power in your daily life? Not just in serving him, but going to work when you don't feel like you can make it. Going to school when you're being bullied, young person. Have you experienced his resurrecting power even in those things? Because I want to tell you, he wants to show you his power. He don't want you to suffer defeat. He don't want you to retreat into despair and be discouraged and depressed. Jesus wants you to know him, and he wants you to have access to his power. He wants you to use it. As they come this morning with a song, the decision of the believer: will you allow the Lord to show you his power, the power of his resurrection in your daily life? You say, Brother Justin, I can't make it another day. Yes, you can. You can make it another day, because there was a man named Jesus who died on a cross and he was buried and raised himself from the grave in all power. And if he did that and you belong to him, you have access to that same strength. You have access to that same power that when you feel like you can't go on anymore, he can enable you to trust him one more step. That's how I want to leave the message this morning, is just ask God for power for one more step. One more step leads to two. Two steps leads to three. And then about this time next year, when we celebrate Easter again, you'll look back and you'll say, you were right. I felt like giving up and quitting. But you said that if I would just trust Him with one more step, that I can trust Him with two. And here, then there you'll be to testify of that. And so let's all stand to our feet this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You. I pray that You'll give liberty during this time of invitation. If someone needs to come, I've tried to make the gospel clear, the message You've laid on my heart. Father, we love You and we thank You. Give liberty in Jesus' name. Amen.